More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, you really push my buttons. Is someone in your life always setting you off? We're going to help you cope. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, you really push my buttons. We all have somebody in our life who just knows how to get under our skin. That person who, maybe just their very presence, just grates on us. Or maybe we get along generally with them, but when they do that thing or say that thing, that's just a bridge too far. We want to help you deal with those situations and people gracefully. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. And I gave some examples of people, but it can be situations too, right? We suddenly hit this frustration that, we don't feel competent or that we didn't expect to have happen, and then all of a sudden we blow up.
Or kind of fall apart inside. I think it's interesting because when you say that we blow up, for you, and not that you got you're a person who blows up, but for you, your personality tends toward, when you feel that way, you hit a wall of frustration, you get frustrated. And that actually works really well for you, because when you get frustrated, you say, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to push through this? It's really very impressive to watch. For me, when I get frustrated, when I hit a wall or something triggers that pain point, which is what we're kind of really talking about today, I kind of go inward and attack myself. Oh, I'll never be good enough for this. I'm not blah, blah, blah. And it actually steals a lot of my power. I have to kind of crawl back out of the hole before I can get to the place where I have the wherewithal
being very kind about me.
True.
I've actually tended to do pretty well with people who frustrate me, I'm pretty good at not letting folks push my buttons there, but situations do push my buttons. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I get an unpleasant surprise, especially if I'm already running a little stressed, I will kind of tend to blow up or be frustrated with the thing, and not in a violent way or whatever.
I really want to make that very clear. That's not your MO at all.
But I'm just trying to say I'm not anybody better than anybody else when it comes to reacting to things. Right.
We all have our pain points and we all react differently. And my point really is, if you're saying, no, I don't get angry, because there are a lot of us who are women who, we don't get angry. But we get angry at ourselves. We attack ourselves. We feel worn down by it. So our reactions to the people or the circumstances that make us feel not our best selves, kind of push our buttons, they can cause different reactions in us, but they're still reactions that cause us to be less than who we are as children of God.
And I think that we can both attest to the fact that the good news is that change is possible. I think that we've both grown over the years.
Sometimes it's very slow.
but you get there,
But you can get there. And the more skills you have, the faster you're going to make that growth. So we're going to try to shortcut some of that growth for all of you today who are struggling with something like this.
Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, is there someone in your life, a spouse, a younger or adult child, your parent or other family member or even friend, who seems to know exactly which buttons to push, and you'd like to know how to respond better to them moving forward? Or maybe there's some situation that you tend to get frustrated about that you'd like to not be triggered by anymore. Maybe you're looking for ways to heal the damage that was done when you reacted to someone out of frustration or anger. Or perhaps you're dealing with someone who acts like you're pushing their buttons all the time.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, you're trying your best to not trigger them, but it never quite seems like enough.
And then, for me, because I have somebody like that in my life, then I get triggered. Because I'm working so hard on not letting this person think I'm pushing their buttons intentionally. I'm working so hard to make them feel comfortable. And then when they, you know, kind of go at me because they think they interpret it that way, oh, you're doing it again, then I'm like, okay, I've done everything. I've exhausted myself trying to walk on eggshells with this person. And now I'm frustrated. So it could be a big cycle of people pushing each other's buttons.
So whatever the situation is, whether it is a person pushing your buttons, a situation pushing your buttons, or you pushing someone else's buttons, let us help you disarm the emotional buttons that are complicating your life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering, well, you know, that's nice and all, but how could some theology possibly help me deal with, you know, people pushing my buttons? Well, it turns out it can help quite a lot, because St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Essentially, he said, look, if we take everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we all now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body helps us see that when we react badly because someone has upset us, the real problem isn't that someone pushed our buttons. It's that we have buttons to push in the first place. What people call buttons are actually old wounds that make it hard for us to respond well under pressure. And we all have them. When someone bumps up against those old wounds, we lash out in pain, just as we would if somebody pushed on a real physical wound for us. But if the wound is healed, even if the other person did something that was offensive or frustrating, we wouldn't react as strongly and could handle the situation charitably.
And that's good news, because it means the solution isn't changing other people or avoiding difficult situations, which is kind of impossible for us to do. The solution is actually learning to grow in what St. John Paul called receptivity to the Holy Spirit that leads to true freedom. John Paul II taught that we're created to love as God loves, but that kind of love requires freedom. In other words, the ability to choose to be our best under pressure. You know, we can't freely give ourselves or love another person when we're being yanked around by reactions. Reactivity isn't freedom. It's actually a kind of slavery to our feelings or to the circumstances we find ourselves in.
And that doesn't mean you shouldn't feel angry when someone wrongs you or frustrated when things fall apart. But emotions aren't a call to action. They're a call to prayer. Before we act on what we're feeling, we need to bring it to God and ask him to help us respond in ways that glorify him, help us be our best under pressure, and enable us to bring out the best in the other people involved.
And we can do this after the fact as well, right? So if you don't catch yourself in the moment,
because most of us don't,
you can always go back afterward. And if you've already reacted poorly to somebody, you can bring that to God too. You know, we can ask him to help us fix whatever damage our reactions caused and make a concrete plan for doing better the next time something like that happens. That's how we grow. Not by suppressing our feelings, but by letting the Holy Spirit transform them from buttons someone else controls into lights that point the way toward healing and deeper freedom. All right, well, sounds good in theory, but how do we actually apply it to the frustrating people in your life? Today on More to Life, you really push my buttons. Is someone in your life always setting you off, a spouse, a younger or adult child, a parent or other family member or friend, who seems to know exactly what buttons to push? Or maybe there's a situation that tends to push your buttons and make you either feel frustrated or makes you shut down and not know how to move forward. Or as we said before, maybe it's someone else accusing you of pushing their buttons. and you're not sure what to do to not trigger them. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, today we come to you and we ask for your help to disarm all the buttons that we have that people push. Help us to stop blaming others for triggering us, but instead take responsibility for healing the wounds that those triggers represent. Help us to open our hearts to your grace, to be able to face those hurts, and to do what we need to do to bring healing to those parts of our hearts, so that when people behave offensively or our situations don't go as we wanted them to, we can feel those frustrations or feel that anger, but not in a way that causes us to lash out or do hurtful or destructive things, but rather to bring those feelings to you and to discern with you a plan for responding in a way that allows us to be our best under pressure and lovingly challenge and invite those around us to be their best under pressure as well. Help us to know how to respond this way to our feelings and situations so that we can build the kingdom in all things. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, you really push my buttons. We're talking about those times when people or situations set you off, or when you seem to be pushing somebody else's buttons and aren't quite sure what to do to stop triggering them. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with our first caller of the day, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Listener, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning.
Good morning. What can we do for you today?
Mm-hmm. Where my adult son, who is in the military, is married.
And how old is he?
He'll be 24 this month.
Okay.
And he has been married for 3 years now. And I haven't seen him since the wedding. And by his choice. And his dad flew out to see him because he's stationed across the country. And his dad and our daughter. And when they were there, our son was not permitted to visit with them. So my husband and my daughter ended up doing their own thing.
He wasn't permitted by who?
Permitted by whom? Was this by the military or by you're referring to his wife? What happened here?
By his wife.
And what does that mean, he wasn't permitted?
That the wife was not comfortable being around the family.
Why?
And apparently what had happened is my daughter was trying to talk to my son, because she hadn't seen him in 3 years either. And was like, just like, hey, check that out over there. And the wife was like, don't talk to him. And my daughter was like,
Was there a particular rift that happened between you and her, like all of you and her at some point where you can pinpoint it and say, that's why she's angry? That's why.
You said you haven't seen him since the wedding. So what happened then?
Just that she just says we're not safe people.
But there's a reason for that. Why did she say you're not safe?
Honestly, we don't know. And, she says everybody's not safe. My son does not have friends anymore. All family has been cut off.
So, and you said that you're having a hard time forgiving her. You told her screener. I guess I'm trying to understand. Because the problem really isn't her. It's your son. Right? If he was a strong, godly man, he didn't have his own issues with you, then you'd have a relationship with him. He would be able to stand up to her, and he'd be able to say, hey, Mom, these are the things we need to deal with. And so, you're directing your frustration and your anger at her, but really, it's your son.
That's
the problem.
Even if she's saying nobody's safe, so you're saying he doesn't even have friends anymore, there's a reason that he's giving in to her on all of this, and that's really the issue. Even if she has mental health issues, a husband, a godly husband, is going to say, darling, I love you, but this is not healthy for us. Let's go into counseling and get some help for this so you can have a social life, so that we can feel connected to our family, so we can have people that care about us and we care about.
So, I mean, I think the anger is a little misdirected and the frustration a little misdirected. And what needs to be happening here is you need to be reaching out to, well, both of them, honestly, but primarily your son, and saying, look, I want to hear whatever it is that you have to say. And this is going to be hard for you because I can, you know, you're saying you don't know what you did to make them feel unsafe. I think that if you sit with it long enough, you could probably guess. Because these kinds of cutoffs don't just happen magically, right? There's a buildup to them. You said you haven't seen him since the wedding. Something happened on that wedding. A lot of stuff was happening up to the wedding, and there was a breaking point at the wedding where something happened that made her feel unsafe.
Yeah, even if he's across the country, I get that. Very expensive, very difficult to get across the country to see people we love who are across the country. But there would still be phone calls and Zoom calls and things that allowed you to catch up at least once a week or once every couple of weeks. To have none of that is pretty extreme. So there has to have been at least a moment.
And I'm not suggesting that she's handling this well. I mean, the example that you gave is not how grown-ups handle conflict, right? I get that. And so there's an extra added layer of complication here. But really, again, your primary relationship is with your son. He's not a ghost. He doesn't just, if he had more character, he would be dealing with all of this in a more direct way. So your job in this situation is to reach out to him or to her and say, look, this is really hard, but I want to hear whatever it is that you have to tell us. Because clearly we've hurt you in some way that made you feel like we weren't safe to be around.
And we'd like to bring healing to this situation because we never meant to do anything that would cause this kind of rift between us or make you feel unsafe.
And I really want to hear what it is that you have to say to us. Now, I know that you're not going to want to hear it. And your natural reaction is going to be, just like anybody's, to be defensive about it, to want to explain or to convince her that she's wrong. I want you to bite your tongue and I want you to pray through all of that. And when she does tell you, I want you to say, thank you for letting us know. I mean, obviously we don't see it the same way, but it's really important that you know that I get how hurt you feel. And I want to know what we could do moving forward to make this right with you. Not to be able to go back and, you know, pretend it didn't happen or whatever, but what would you need to see from us moving forward that would let you feel a little safer around us? And really enter into that conversation. Again, I do think that you need to really appeal to your son. But if she is the gatekeeper on that, you can reach out to her. But be careful not to be too angry with her, because if your son didn't agree with her, or if your son had a little more character, then this wouldn't be playing out the way it is. You know, he'd be talking to you about it and saying, Mom, there are issues we need to work through. And he'd be standing up to her and saying, honey, I love you, but there are issues we need to work out, but this is not how grown-ups deal with problems. But he's not doing that. So somewhere along the line, he learned that it was better to keep his head down and stay out of conflict, which says something about the family of origin, okay? So I need you guys to look at all of that and see how is it that we raised a son who's so afraid of conflict that he'd rather not deal with us?
Yeah, and it's emotional conflict, because obviously, as a member of the military, he's not afraid of some kind of conflicts. He's walking headlong into them, and God bless him for it. But emotionally, something has taught him that you just keep your head down, and you get through it, and you don't cause any ripples between anybody because it's too much work.
And I'll be honest, I mean, although I believe the intention was good, your husband and daughter just showing up, you know, after 3 years of you guys not having any contact with each other, that's a power move. That's not an attempt to build a relationship. That's forcing the situation. And it's not, that wouldn't be received well, right? So there needs to be some kind of open communication before you can go and visit. You know, it shouldn't have been a surprise that would have gone as poorly as it did. So you need to back way up and really focus in on listening and trying to understand where the offense was, even though that's really hard to hear. We talk more about this in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. That's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. If you want more personalized attention and support in working through this in faithful ways, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We see this issue more and more and more, and are helping parents just like you rebuild those relationships with adult children. But we'd like to, you know, just walk you through that step by step. Thanks for being willing to hear what we had to share. And I hope that you'll be able to run with these suggestions and take advantage of the additional resources we've provided. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about pushing your buttons, whether it's somebody who's pushing your buttons or you're pushing someone else's. We want to help you diffuse those buttons in your life. 877-573-7825. Back after this.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Feeling worn out, overwhelmed, or just plain tired of feeling tired as a parent? Well, you're not alone. Parenting can drain even the most faithful moms and dads, especially at this time of year.
Join us, Dr. Craig and Lisa Popcheck, for a free Ave Maria Radio webinar, Reclaiming the Joy of Parenting, Overcoming Burnout, on Wednesday, March 18th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern.
Get practical, faith-filled tools to recharge your batteries and rediscover the joy of raising Catholic kids. Register now at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today on More to Life, you really push my buttons. Is there someone in your life who is really good at setting you off or getting under your skin in some way? Whether that's your spouse, a younger or adult child, a parent or other family member or friend. Maybe it's a situation that tends to get you frustrated that you'd like to not get triggered by. Or maybe you're pushing somebody else's buttons and you want to know how to respond to them in a more effective way. Let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Speaking of pushing buttons, you know, parenting is one big button sometimes.
You're not wrong.
You're right. Exactly. I'm not wrong about that. And especially in these, say, you know, winter, early spring months where everything just still seems a little gloomy and there's not a lot to do and everybody's getting on each other's nerves, it's easy to fall into that place of parental burnout. Well, we want to help you reclaim your joy as a parent with a brand new webinar that we are hosting tomorrow night, actually, Wednesday, March 18th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, called Reclaim the Joy of Parenting, Overcoming Burnout. It's sponsored by Ave Maria Radio. It is completely free, and we want to share some great tips to help you reclaim the joy of parenting, whether you're feeling totally burned out or maybe just a little crispy around the edges. We'll give you some great practical tools to reclaim that joy, rebuild that connection, and start experiencing the love and joy that Catholic families really need to be experiencing in our homes. Join us, Dr. Greg and Lisa, tomorrow evening, March 18th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, for that free webinar, Reclaiming the Joy of Parenting. You can learn more, and you got to register for it just so we can send you the link. It's free, though, at AveMariaRadio.net, and you can just click
There's like a streaming banner on top.
There's a banner. Click the banner that gives you information about the webinar. So check that out, register, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night on the Reclaiming the Joy of Parenting, Overcoming Burnout webinar. I got to work on my promo skills here. That didn't go so well, did it?
You're okay. It's all right. We'll just say it one more time. We'll get through this together.
Yeah.
Totally free webinar. Gives you more joy in parenting tomorrow night, March 18th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to register so we can send you the link.
Check it out. All right. We are taking your calls, though, right now about those things that are pushing your buttons, and it could be your kids, for that matter, young or adult children, could be your spouse or any family member or friend. We are here to help you manage those buttons. And we just have about a minute before the break, so I want to just share this idea. We were talking in the last segment in our reflection that the problem isn't that people push our buttons, it's that we have buttons to push.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be frustrating to hear, right? And it, you can even feel like we're being blamed, right? And I don't mean to imply that you know, I'm blaming anybody for that. We all have buttons. But those buttons are wounds that God wants to heal.
I think that's the most important part. Let's say that again. It's not that we have to shut them down or put some kind of, like, armor on. It's that these are ways of God letting us know there's something he wants to bring his healing to.
And as long as we keep attributing it to buttons that other people push, we're giving away or we're missing out on the opportunity to heal those wounds because we're saying it's their fault.
Yeah, don't heal me, Lord. Don't touch my wound. Go heal them. Then I'll be fine.
And the problem with that, I mean, I get it. It's tempting to think that way because it's sometimes a little scary to look at those wounds. But the good news is, you know, we can't control other people, right? We can't make them change. But we can heal those wounds in our own hearts that allow us to have fewer buttons to push. And when we do that, that gives us the freedom to respond well to frustrating situations and people so that we can be our best and invite them to be their best, too. Let's talk about how to do that when More to Life continues after the break. 877-573-7825.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing we are back in the Holy Land, ready to introduce you to our favorite places in the world, the land where God walked. Mass at the most holy sites, pray the mysteries of the rosary where they happened, and experience the Bible in vivid color. We have led over 100 groups through this land, sharing the whole story of salvation. Of all the pilgrimages in all of the world, this is the one you should not miss.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
How does God's method of governing provide a role model for human governors? God is a delegator. He has not, the Catholic Catechism points out, willed to reserve to himself all exercise of power. He entrusts to every creature the functions it is capable of performing according to the capacity of its own nature. God displays great regard for human freedom. Inspired by God, human governors should behave as instruments of divine providence and practice the principle of subsidiarity, which ordains that a community of a higher order should not interfere in the internal life of a community of a lower order, depriving the latter of its functions. The Catechism stresses that the principle of subsidiarity sets limits on state intervention. The collective ends of society can never justify using means that trample individual rights. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And we need to pray for all our world leaders and all those who are in such danger. See, in a day and age where people are getting further away from God, you get further away from goodness. Only God is good. You remember what our Lord said one day? Why do you call me good? He said, only God is good. Only God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Jesus reminds us that the key to receiving mercy is being merciful to others. Being merciful means treating people in a manner that reminds them of their worth in God's eyes. We have lots of chances to practice being merciful all day, but the best place to start is in our marriage and family lives. Here are some ways you can begin being merciful to your spouse and kids and reminding them of what they're worth in God's eyes. First, be demonstrative with your love and affection. Let your spouse and kids feel God's love for them flowing through your arms when you hold them. Second, serve with joy. Remind your spouse and kids how much they're worth to God by taking the time to respond promptly to their concerns and requests. And third, bear wrongs patiently and forgive willingly. By practicing these spiritual works of mercy, we give our spouse and kids a physical reminder that nothing they do will separate them from God's love or ours. To learn more about being merciful in your marriage and family life, check out my book, The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled, You Really Push My Buttons. And we're talking about those people or situations in our life that kind of bring out the worst in us for whatever reason, right? You know, and it just feels like I can't be around them, or at least I can't be around them in this situation or when these things happen without me feeling like I'm losing it or shutting down. Or there are other times, of course, when people accuse us of pushing their buttons. So we end up tiptoeing around them, trying not to give offense and just feeling like we're all tied up inside because everything we do is wrong. Not pleasant feelings either way. So we want to help you disarm the emotional buttons that are complicating your life and relationships. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Joe, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Washington, D.C.
on Guadalupe Radio. Hey, Joe, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hey, thank you very much. I was really taken with the things you said right before the break about how buttons, everybody's got them, but it's better to think about how one can be healed from them. And your other point just before the break about, you know, you can't change other people, but you can change yourself. My situation, and so I'd like you to elaborate on that in the context mm-hmm. of my situation, which is that I've been married for 45 years, 3 adult children, these are adults now, one handicapped who lives with us, one who has really struggles, one who's tremendously successful, but has a young wife who has metastatic breast cancer. So we've got a lot going on. And our situation is that my wife, whose risk tolerance is lower than mine to begin with, is always thinking that something bad is going to happen. And frankly, frequently things do bad happen.
Right.
But
sure.
What that ends up happening in our day-to-day life is that she's, in my book, relentlessly critical of some proposal I have or some decision I've made or some course of action that I'm proposing. And I don't react well to that. I get either depressed and quiet, or I get angry. And her reaction to that is that I'm making this about me, and you know, so she's in a tough spot too, which I recognize. And I'm really struggling to figure out how I can get myself out of this pattern.
So let me understand this correctly. You haven't given any specifics, but I'm going to respect that for now, and let's see if we can kind of work in the general first. So my sense is that what the dynamic is that when you, let's say there's a problem that you have to address or a goal that you want to pursue, and you'll propose some ideas for achieving that, then she sees that there's risk involved there, and she just would prefer to avoid the thing, which then makes you feel shut down.
She just rejects, in the way I look at it anyway, she just rejects any, it could be something very simple. Let me give you a specific example. A specific example is that it's actually apropos today. Today, my wife is away for good and legitimate reasons, helping somebody in our family. And that mm-hmm. means that I need to be at home with our son who has a handicap. And I'm going to be home all week for him. But when this came up, I said, look, the one day I'm not going to be able to do it is Tuesday. And she was fine with that, and we agreed that I would work out some coverage. I proposed that a friend come and visit us and stay. And so when I told her that, she she said, oh, no, 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 that won't work. That's terrible. He's not reliable. And the fact of the matter is she's right about that up to a point. And that's just not going to work. It's terrible. And so finally I said, well, look, I'll get someone else. And rather than, and admittedly, I wasn't very friendly when I said that. And her reaction to that was to continue to go on about what a bad decision it was to ask person A in the first place. And at that point, of course, my reaction to that is, well, but look, I'm going to do something else. So why do we need to talk about that anymore? And her reaction to that is, well, why won't you let me speak? And so that's a very specific,
okay.
Very mundane. But it's
I get what you're saying.
No, it's a very good example, actually. And so what I'm hearing as the person who's a little bit more like your wife, because when women especially, okay, this is one of those kind of differences between men and women. And it's not a healthy difference, but it's a difference. When women have experienced really cataclysmically bad things happening to the people they love, usually we go into a place where our brains just want to protect the people we love from harm at all costs. And that's not a, oh, we're fine all the time, and then something comes up that we see could be a problem, so we visit that for a minute, we problem solve and walk away. For many of us, not all of us, our brains are running on problem solving and anticipating what could go wrong all the time in an attempt, a mistaken one, to protect everyone all the time. So when she starts to say this and you're saying, all right, I already gave you a solution, and she's saying, but you're not letting me talk, it's because she's taking that moment to download all the emotion behind all of her planning to protect everybody that's been going on in her head since the last time you two had a conversation like this. Not healthy, not great for a relationship, but just trying to show you what's probably happening in her mind all the time.
Of course, the issue here is that you know, like you were saying, Lisa, be that as it may, it's not particularly helpful.
No, it's not.
So
it's good to know where it's coming from, but it maybe moves your concerns out of the way so you can begin to problem solve it.
So she's not meaning to be critical, right, is kind of the point. And,
right.
And so the importance here in your responding to this, first of all, let me back up way up here. And I don't know if you guys pray together on any kind of regular basis and pray together specifically about these kinds of concerns, but that is critical to being able to navigate these kinds of differences. And here's why. Because when you're praying together the way I'm talking about, where you're actually talking to God as if he was a person in the room, you know, out loud with each other, you're creating a way to really share your hearts with each other and also a space to listen to what God is telling you. So the prayer is, you know, God, here's the situation that we're dealing with. And I kind of know what I'd like to do about it. And she has her concerns about what to do about it and has her ideas about what to do it. Help us to work together to figure out what you want us to do. And help us to take care of each other while we work together to figure that out. Okay, that's the framework. You can use different words, but that's the idea. You know, we both know what we want. Help us to figure out what you want. And help us to take care of each other while we work together to figure that out. Now, that becomes the framework for prayer, but then it also becomes the framework for discussing it afterward. Okay? Because instead of it becoming a polarized conversation between, well, I want to have our friend come over and her say, well, I don't want to do that, you say, oh, well, that was one idea. What ideas do you have, honey, about how we meet that need?
What do you think God's telling us through the prayer that we pray every single day to take such good care of each other and all of the situations in our life?
I understand that you don't like that idea, but what are you proposing to solve it? Because when you just run down my idea without offering anything else, I feel criticized and I feel attacked. Instead of, I don't feel like I have a partner who loves me and wants to help me with this. I feel like you're just attacking me and running me down, which I know is not your intention, but that's how it comes across.
And I know you don't feel listened to because you're running this task of protecting all of us all the time in your head, and you're exhausted and you need me to listen. But I also need us to get to a place to problem solve with this. So when you pray together in the way that Greg's talking about here, you're offloading the mantle of one of you has to be in the position of God defending everyone all the time. And you become a team working together to love each other, take care of each other, and problem solve with information from the Holy Spirit together. And that alone lets you take that deep cleansing breath and start in a different direction.
So there are really two parts to this answer. The first part is praying together in a way that says, that acknowledges that both of you have differences of opinion, but that you want to work together to figure out what God wants you to do. Not just choosing between the two options on the table, but recognizing that both options that are on the table represent certain values that each of you have, and that God probably wants to come up with a third idea that would incorporate all the values and concerns that you both have. And then secondly, you're resisting polarizing the conversation by do we do your thing or my thing, but rather saying, okay, well, why is that important to you? Okay, and here's why this is important to me. Let's come up with another answer that incorporates all the things that are important to both of us. And that's going to require you both talking and praying about this. But the way things are going right now, you do what a lot of couples do, which is that, you know, there's a problem. One of you presents an answer. The other one doesn't like that answer. So then you just argue back and forth about whether that answer was good and why it wasn't.
That's all. It's not just a lot of couples. It's most people in general when they come together to solve a problem.
And the way to pull out of that spiral is to say, look, I understand that you don't like that idea. Okay, I get that. What are you proposing we do instead? Because I really need your help figuring out what else to do. That was the most convenient answer. I realize it wasn't the best. But that was the most obvious and convenient answer. If you don't like that, what else can we do? What would you like to see happen? And you can also go further and say, because I'm hearing you. I hear all your concerns, but the way it's coming across is that you just don't like my answer, and that you're kind of criticizing me and attacking me for coming up with something without proposing something of your own. So I'd really like us to be partners and figure this out together so that we can work together to figure out what God wants us to do. And then you go back to praying about it. Okay, Lord, you know, she said this and I said that. Now help us to figure out how to take care of each other while we work for that new solution that incorporates all the things that are important to both of us. We talk more about this in both our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, because we talk about how to do couple discernment. Along the lines that we're talking about here. We also talk about better negotiating skills in our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. So those are two resources that you could turn to build on these concepts that we presented here on the call. You can also, if you'd like more personalized assistance, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com for faithful help in responding to these kinds of issues. But those would be additional resources to help build on what we've suggested here. I think you can run with the suggestions, though. If there's more that we can do to support you, you can always reach out to us here or through CatholicCounselors.com. And again, those titles, once again, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, and How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Joe, thanks for the call. And folks, if there's you are dealing with somebody who's pushing your buttons and you're not quite sure how to respond gracefully, let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Proverbs 25, verse 28.
Like a city whose walls are broken through is the person who lacks self-control.
And self-control is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's this, and it's not repression. I want to emphasize
Thank
that.
Thank you. Yeah, I really want to define this because I think that those of us who don't know what you just said, that it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, will just think, okay, then I've got to button it all up and control every feeling and just deal with it and make sure everything works. And that is not what self-control really is.
Yeah, so self-control is not prohibiting yourself from feeling anything. It's having the strength to direct those feelings in ways that are productive. You know, to responses that are productive, proportionate, and appropriate. Right? And instead of either stuffing our feelings and not allowing ourselves to act on them at all, or just being overtaken with them and lashing out, or shutting down for that matter. So self-control is that virtue that doesn't repress things, it expresses things appropriately. And so this proverb, you know, like a city whose walls are broken through is the person who lacks self-control, because if you don't have self-control, then you have buttons. You have these wounds that people keep pushing. And we need to see that again as an invitation from God to heal those wounds rather than blame others for pushing our buttons. Because then that's the source of real control. That's the source of real strength and confidence and freedom to make choices that actually work for the good of others and ourselves. We are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. The show today, You Really Push My Buttons. someone setting you off, or for that matter, someone accusing you of pushing their buttons and you're not sure how to respond. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Hey, Catholic parents, could you use a break? Parenting is hard, especially at this time of year, and burnout can steal the joy right out of family life.
Join us, Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck, on Wednesday, March 18th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern for a free webinar sponsored by Ave Maria Radio titled Reclaiming the Joy of Parenting, Overcoming Burnout.
Discover practical, faith-filled ways to recharge your batteries and reclaim the joy of parenting. Register today at avemariaradio.net. Don't miss it. Your family's worth it.
Hello, friends. Deacon Harold Birksivers here, and I haven't been this excited about an up-and-coming speaker for a long time, Dr. Marcus Peter. Dr. Peter has the gift of combining deep theological insight, wisdom, and knowledge with personal testimony and story in a way that makes the power of the church's teaching and God's love felt deeply in the heart of all who hear him. If you are looking for someone for your next conference, parish mission, or event, look no further than Dr. Marcus Peter.
Visit MarcusBPeter.com to book Dr. Marcus Peter to speak at your event. At the Ave Maria website, you can continue the discussion and education through the Ave Maria Radio's links to social media. Ave Maria Radio has accounts on Facebook, X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the social media symbols at the top of your screen.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, then follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today on More to Life, you really push my buttons. Is someone in your life always setting you off? We'll help you cope. 877-573-7825.
Before we take our next question, we want to send out congratulations to two more EWTN radio partners. JMJ Radio, with three stations serving Pennsylvania, is celebrating 18 years with us. And Holy Spirit Radio, with two stations in the greater Philadelphia area, marks an incredible 27 years with EWTN.
Woo! Congratulations to everybody at Holy Spirit Radio and JMJ Radio from all of us here at EWTN. And wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Radio, make sure you're supporting your local Catholic radio station with your prayers, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you in living a more joyful, faithful, and abundant life. Once again, congratulations to Holy Spirit Radio and JMJ Radio, and to everybody who makes EWTN Radio possible, especially you, the listener. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. The show today titled, You Really Push My Buttons, as we talk about those times when other people either trigger us or we trigger them, and we're not sure how to diffuse those emotional buttons that complicate our life and relationships. Let's talk it out.
Well, interestingly enough, we have a question from Sean, who is listening in Pennsylvania. He says, I need some help, both with a situation I created last night with something I've been struggling with for a long time. Okay, and I don't know what the both is. He said, I've been married for 6 years, and I love my wife very much, but it feels like no matter what I do, it's never enough. She'll come to me and ask me to help more around the house, or tell me she needs more quality time, or let me know that she needs me to do something differently to feel more supported. And I know that as her husband, I should want to do those things. But instead of feeling motivated, I just feel like I'm failing, like I'm being handed another report card that I didn't pass. Last night, she asked me to put my phone down while she was talking to me, which is completely reasonable. I know that. But something in me just snapped, and I told her that I never feel like I'm enough for her, and that nothing I do ever seems to matter. She got really hurt, and I feel bad about that, but I don't know how to get her to see that her constant requests make me feel like a failure. I want to fix what happened last night, but more than that, how can I stop feeling like I'm letting her down? That's from Sean in Pennsylvania.
Well, Sean, thanks for the question, and I appreciate the humility that it took to write in with that and your openness to receiving some guidance about how to respond to it. So there are either one or two of two things that's happening here, okay? And the first thing I want you to ask yourself is there any way she could ask for the things that she needs from you without it feeling like a criticism? Because if so, there's nothing wrong with you saying, you know, honey, I'm happy to respond to these things, but there's just, you know, if you could say it this way instead of that, that would really help me feel like, you know, I wasn't being criticized. Like, you know, it's one thing if somebody comes to you and says, you know, honey, it really means a lot to me if you put down your phone and you're talking to me because I feel like you're not paying attention. That's one thing. It's another thing if somebody says, would you just put down your phone already because you're never paying attention to me. Right, you know, the other one's a criticism, right? There's a difference between a criticism and a complaint. A complaint is where you identify the problem but invite the other person to help you with it. A criticism is when you blame the person for the problem and tell them that they're the problem. So in those instances, I mean, if sometimes when we feel criticized, it's because we're being criticized. And it's okay then to ask ourselves, how could this person ask me for this thing they need from me in a way that wouldn't feel like a criticism? And you can then say to your wife, hey, honey, you know, I didn't mind putting down my phone, but the way you asked me just really felt like you were tearing my head off. Could you just say, hey, I don't feel like you're paying attention when you're having your phone. Would you mind putting it down? And I would do that. Okay. Now, what I think is really going on, though, is not so much that, although there could be some of that. There are some times when it's not the way a person asks for what they want. It's the fact that they're asking for anything. Because a lot of times we feel like if our spouse has to ask for something, it means we've failed, that we've messed up, that we're not going to be enough. And those are sort of themes that run through your message. And if that's the case, you know, then that tends to suggest a wound that we grew up in a household where approval and affection weren't particularly abundant, and that we were constantly just sort of jumping through hoops to try to get our folks to notice us and pat us on the head and give us the affirmation that we were looking for, and that it was never enough. And now we're projecting that onto our spouse.
And I think that when Sean is saying that he feels like it's another report card that he's failed, probably really backs up what you're saying, because he's going back to a memory of not getting approval and love from his folks because he didn't do well enough.
So it's really important to realize that somebody making requests of you is not a judgment on you. That in fact, marriage especially is all about constantly responding to each other's requests for help or to change, because God gave you your spouse specifically because he's asking you to grow in ways that you wouldn't grow without her, and vice versa. But you can't respond to that invitation to grow if you're not each open to what the other is needing.
And I just want to add one more thing here. Start making sure that you're having talk rituals with each other. Because I get the sense that she's having to tell you what she needs sort of on the fly. But if you spend some time every single day, even 10 minutes, saying, hey, what do you need from me to make your life easier or more pleasant tomorrow?
And
or
you're both
first
discussing
thing in the
that.
Morning.
It's
both
not just her to you, but you're
sharing. So you just have time to hear each other out, and letting each other know what you need from each other isn't because you failed in all these other things. It's a ritual you do every day, so you're open up to this conversation when you're in a good place, not when you're exhausted, not when you're trying to depressure from the end of the day by being on your phone or you're in the middle of something else. That will help both of you be able to have communication without that pressure.
You can build on to what Lisa's suggesting by also just at both of you discussing the question, was there something that I did today that helped you feel a little closer to me?
Yeah, I love that.
You know, and just kind of talk about catching each other being good, just as a way of
as part of that talk ritual.
just as a way of reminding each other that it's, you know, that there are things that you're doing that are working. Because a lot of couples forget to do that. So building that in could be helpful. But it's going to also be important for you to really look at that deeper wound that I suspect is there from your family of origin, where you tend to interpret requests as complaints or criticisms. And if you need to work through that, then don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, because we can help you kind of deprogram that idea. But let's, for now, run with the suggestions we've made here on the call. And if there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us. And that goes for you listeners as well. If you are looking for ways to disarm the buttons that people are pushing in you, or trying to figure out how to not trigger others that you care about, let's work it out together and help you find faithful ways to respond to those challenges at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in light of God's grace.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.